Okay, first resolution, we got it, first resolution, call me in order. Yes, okay, we make motion to approve the April 3rd, meeting minutes.
I make that motion.
All in copy? All of the favor?
Aye.
All of the opposed? Good. So, yes. Okay, let's look at the resolutions. Resolution 166. Authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Department of State for funding to conduct a brownfield opportunity area study. Okay. Dave, familiar with this?
Yes.
Rich?
Yes.
This is all reimbursable, right?
Yes, except for the in-kind part of it, which is just past time. So it's a reimbursement grant from Department of State to identify areas where we can do cleanup for future economic development and really try to target it. So this is, again, the local share, I think, is 22?
22,500.
Yeah, so that's staff. That's our staff.
That's the in-kind service.
So, just so I can be clear, are you subcontracting out? Is that where most of the funding is going?
Yeah.
And will it be like a procurement process?
Or have you? Yeah.
Okay, I'm just just checking to go through it.
We would have to do an RFP on it.
Okay.
Dennis may already have that. This is Dennis's project, so
okay.
That may already be in the work.
Got it. So then we'll see it again because of the size of it.
Yeah.
It'll come back.
You know, we've gone through this before doing the same thing, but do we have any idea about how to have any brownfield that would continue to exist here?
I think it depends on how you define brownfield. Like some people, it has to be an active contamination site, and then there's a broader definition of brownfield, like an area that's kind of underdeveloped, like you have urban areas that aren't necessarily contaminated, but they've been previously disturbed, and some of the evaluations include those properties, like an old, like a place where a building has come down, but it's not necessarily what you would call a brownfield contaminated site. It's more like a redevelopment site.
My first question was, why is this seen as the economic development? Because it's a capital program, it's in front of us.
Well, it's also for economic development. I mean, the purpose of cleaning up the brownfields is to redevelop.
That was my second question. When you say contaminated with...
Well, it can range. I mean, you have sites that have, like they used to be in automobile salvage. You have places that did dry cleaning. You have gas stations. You have places where there have been leak tanks. So it's really tough to redevelop those spots because nobody wants to take the liability of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the Brownfield Grant helps to identify areas that, are promising for redevelopment, and then you can do further evaluation for those problems.
So this doesn't actually do any redevelopment, it just identifies the location.
It queues it up. It gives us an inventory of areas for potential redevelopment.
Okay, thank
and
you.
And there are some other grants that would help to clean it up.
Who's going to determine what areas they're looking at?
Anyone.
It doesn't matter? I have a question in regards to the old life infrastructure.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. But I seem to recall that there was an issue out there with contamination.
Right.
Oh, so I don't know if they have, and I don't know what the time limit is on it.
Also, asbestos is a big thing now, too. So, the building falls down, you can't go and start to, unless you're the owner.
Right.
The owner, you're fine, but if you're not the owner, you can't go and start to remove it.
Staff, I seem to recall when the new owner took, when the person took over the IBM site, that was one of the reasons why it was sold at a very discounted rate of $3 million because of the contamination. Well, I don't think we've ever addressed it out here or at the old sports facility that IBM owned where they used to allow people to go out and play ball, the rec center, because there was a question of whether or not they were dumping there too. So, if we're going to be doing something like this, I just think that that's one of our main sites.
Yeah, I'm just assuming, Peter, that would be on the inventory.
Well, that's fine. I'm not talking to Dennis about that.
I'm sorry that he couldn't be here.
Okay, any other questions?
So, I assume that, well, I'd be interested to know, you know, how much we already have mapped, you know, on the GIS system. And I'm assuming they do things like check, you know, toxic release inventory, what is already known.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions, Chris? Okay, all those in favor? Resolution?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Carried.
Next resolution.
Authorizing the chairman of the Elster County Legislature and the Elster County Executive to enter into a contract for sale with the Kingston City School District for the purchase of the Sophie Chin Elementary School and accompanying real estate.
Buildings and grounds to share in the project with her so that I can answer anything.
Okay. Any questions on this deals with the STRIVE program? You know what the STRIVE program is, I see. The college and the county and the school district. Anybody have any questions for anybody? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Good.
Okay.
Let's go. Authorizing the... Thank you, David. Are you still... Well, is there anything else? Am I going to need you here for anything else? I would like to talk to Dennis about that because I would like to know the scope of it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Third one. Authorizing the chairman of the Elster County Legislature to execute a lease with the Ulster Savings Bank for the space to be used by the Board of Elections, Department of Public Works, Building and Grounds. You got it.
Same area of work. My daughter's workbook. That's the whole one. Same space they're in now. Executing another lease that was up there in 5 years later.
Any questions?
The rent going up?
Same.
No brainer.
So the rent's the same? Nothing's changed? Another 5 years?
Yeah. Prime location.
Right uptown? Are you going to locate?
Walking distance to here.
I have a question about a different building, but we'll have that when we're done with these resolutions.
I'll make a motion to move it if we're in.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Did I get a motion before I
say it? No, I didn't pick.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Glossed over that.
Very minor detail. I can do it again.
I got to tell him
coming out. I make a motion to leave that.
Okay. I just voted it. I guess I'm getting mad. I've done this for a while.
Okay, everybody's in favor.
Let me see. So we took the vote. You made the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed.
Who is in there now? Who's using the space now?
Their lease is expiring.
Right.
Okay.
And we're going to
keep the same
vote. We're going to continue the same vote. Okay, resolution 170. Establishing capital project number 410, reconstruction of various roads in Ulster County. See, that doesn't affect me, but I don't think so.
You're now.
Can I get out of this one?
So, I don't see anything from Black Hill either.
Woodstock jobs, ever since Woodstock, and then there's,
actually, south of Ireville, Black Hill, New Hurley. I'll make a motion.
All right. Kevin made a motion. Take it a second.
I'll second.
Second. Any more discussion? Want to talk about those roads, Ken? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving right along. Resolution 172, establishing capital projects numbers 411 and 412 for replacement, reconstruction of various county bridges and box culverts.
It just failed within the last 18 months.
It's gotten to the point that it's going to close in the last week. The culvert pipe gets its strength on the overall, when you break the bottom, then there's going to be a glass on the side. So they're not completely broken all the way through.
An ASAP job, yeah.
It's going to be done this year.
So here's
the...
This is a situation where I just came from an environmental society conference at SUNY New Paltz yesterday, and one of the things that was pointed out at the conference was to design culverts so that they're structurally sound on the top, but that you can have a natural flow on the bottom.
We do that in streams that the DEC wants us to do that in, which they are fish going through. We always do that. That's required now. That's what we do.
Yeah, it looks to me like this would require total reconstruction to accomplish something like that. And that.
Well, actually, I don't think we're going to. They're looking right now at building an inner wall to that and guiding that and the bottom out.
I'm putting a new bottom.
Digging the bottom open. So it'll be stone and gravel.
Oh, you are putting
it. We're looking for it. Yeah, we do that whenever the DEC wants us to, or whenever we can.
And this is the case where they want you to.
I don't know if it's the case they want us to, but we're looking
for it. Okay. All right. There goes that concern.
It's kind of the same standard thing nowadays.
Okay. I'm just learning. Had I not spent about, 10 or 15 minutes having a conversation, because I'm used to seeing, fully rounded culverts and sometimes elevated, and then, if it's a pipe, it can cause erosion where it all comes out, but if it's open, okay. So thank you for having such a good answer.
What about engineers? They go to school and we interact with the DEC, and we go to the show between people, and there's a lot of inter-agency.
So in this case, if there aren't any other questions, I will make the motion.
You want to move it?
I do.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
That's it.
Moving right along.
Yes.
Savage Capital Project, voice over IP, phone system information. This is going to be Sylvia. Want to tell us something about this?
I'll start by telling you how our phone system works today. It's called a phone system that we get from Verizon. And for every phone that we have in the county, we have a phone line that comes in. And we pay $18.79 thereabouts per line that comes in. So this new system, instead of running completely over those telephone lines, it runs over our county network. So you put the phones on our data network, and then they can all travel the network and share a couple of big trunk lines. So now instead of having, you know, 1,200 or 1,300 phone lines coming in, I have strategically placed these big trunk lines that we can share. So if you're not using your phone, I can use that to somebody else. So it makes better use of the phone lines that are coming in, so I don't need as many. I can share those. It runs off of servers, so we plan to put servers in strategic places around the county, so if one goes down, you have all the other ones that will automatically fail over to. So it's a very redundant system, and it uses less network cost, and I get a savings over my current year. I get a savings of $7,000 a month over what I'm paying now for all of those Verizon lines.
How much?
$7,000 a month.
So much is, are you looking at 84?
Yeah. The significant savings. So we need to invest in the infrastructure up front, and Bert Golnick is going to do a short-term bond for that. And the cost of that bond is in this
$6,000. The total cost is $671,000?
Correct.
Almost $72,000. You
want to move
it?
I'll move it.
You want a second?
One second.
What are these other fees for professional services, $160,000?
That's for the implementation of the system, to set up those servers, and each time a phone is set up, there's a bunch of settings that need to be set up initially. They'll interview the departments and say, you know, who needs to access what phone, what countries do you need to be in. There's a bit of planning that goes on.
Who's going to maintain the system?
They are. That's included in the cost. So that's another beauty of this, is that we'll reduce our administrative overhead because our staff is really shrinking. So that is another benefit of it. I won't have to use county staff to manage the system.
I'm so curious. How many employees do you have right now?
I have, at this moment, I have 34. I have two retiring this year, one retiring next year, and another one who's on the cusp. So I don't expect a lot of replacements.
I have some concerns, but that's enough. All right. Any other questions?
Obviously, when you see the cost, you're concerned about it. But what I think is impressive is that you're going to be saving $84,000 a year, and it'll pay for itself in 5 or 6 years. And you know, maybe I should say that in a resolution. I think that will
help all the legislators.
Are we allowed to change the wording? I'm sure you can amend it if you want.
You can amend it, but you don't have to. Yeah, okay. You can amend it from the floor.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary at this point. We'll make sure that everybody in our respective...
You might want to just send a memo out.
Yeah.
Get all the legislators letting you know what the savings are going to be in. Over the next 7 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I thought there actually was a clause in there about saving.
Yeah,
maybe. I'm sorry to be confused, but it's better just to ask now than, than answer the vote.
It says here the county of Seneca
paid $150,000 annually. So what's the difference between the 84 and the 150?
Yeah, that I'm not sure. I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm going to clarify that.
Will you need less people to operate it, or did you already tell us that?
Yes, I will. So I have a half a person now that does that job, and I will need to use that person for that job. I can use him for something else.
Could you also let us know that, we'll move this along, I have a feeling, but let us know what the difference between the 150 and the...
I will.
If that 150 is accurate.
Right. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I'll be a deal breaker, but I'd like to have accurate information.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll check that out.
So, the increase of cost for software, computer equipment, etc. Okay, there is a $672,000, and then in addition... No, so the serial bonds are what's covering that, right? So how does it end up, I'm sorry that I just don't understand, but how does it end up being, one million, 2 million?
6 years. Actually, it's not 1 million. That's what the capital project was estimated at, and it kind of came in at that 600. And then the services is at 700 and something. So when we were doing the capital project last summer,
okay. And
you have to put your capital projects in, we made estimates.
So that's what was approved in the capital budget.
Correct.
But you're only asking now for $672,000.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So you got estimates up
high. Yeah, it was a different. It was a different system that we were looking at, and then after we did the RFP and looked at all the options, we found one that was much cheaper and software-based instead of hardware-based, so it came in a lot less money. We thought it would be better to try and then go low than go low.
Oh, no, I agree. It just seems like 500.
Yeah, then...
Almost twice as much.
Yeah.
$565,000.
Let me also say that the services... are not being bonded. I don't think that matters, though. They're still included in the total.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it did come in a lot less expensive than we were thrilled by that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Chris?
Okay, who moved it?
I think we
did a discussion before it got
moved.
Did it
get moved?
No. I think Chris Allen kept it. Yeah, okay. Right, so you moved it. I thought you seconded it. Yep. Correct. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I'll get back to you
with that. Just talking to you.
Yeah,
if you could just put something in the mailbox, the member of the town, these minutes also.
You
did, yeah. Okay, that's it. Do you have any questions here?
Sure.
2 years back, we did a study about all of our properties. And we we found that certain properties were having, they were really, really in bad shape. In fact, one of them was information services.
Mm-hmm.
How we were addressing these issues.
I think we're selling the home. Like with this building, it's going to be sold. As it is.
Because the roof is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But maintenance wise, it's been a very difficult building to take care of because every time it snows, we have people on the roof shoveling the snow.
Right. And I remember we had an alarm up there.
And that's.
And right. Then the train came by and set it off.
And that's why it's not being handled. We got rid of that building, for example.
And where are we looking to put them?
Is it on the VRC? Right?
That's the plan.
That's one of the VRC.
VRC. Golden Court, Ulster Avenue, first time.
Sorry. The college, what's the college going to do?
The college is going to go to everybody stops, everybody sit down.
Okay, so they're going to move everything out of there. I didn't know they were going to move everything out of there. I thought that the Silver Fin was going to be an opportunity for kids in high school to go there, but it's not necessarily all the classes or the classrooms are going to be placed there.
No, they're going to be classrooms. The college is going to go from the BRC to the Sophie Center. It's freeing up space for people to come out of buildings like that and address it. And Blackwood Avenue is empty as of this week. So there's another troublesome doing this.
Yeah, that's not what it was purchasing.
Yes, purchasing a few other two people.
What's the acreage there?
14, I think.
14 acres?
Yeah.
And a building?
And several buildings. Yeah. One big building and a couple of smaller
buildings. Are there any other buildings that we're looking at to move out of?
I don't think so. I think that's those are the two big ones. Brian would be pretty more on top of that than I am, but I don't remember there being any other places that were closing down. We've already done quite a few.
Do we have any time limit when this move is going to take place?
I believe there's a deadline that we'd like to meet, but whether it makes it.
Yeah, I told revolving around the timing for Sophie Finn.
Right. That's the linchpin of their operation, is getting Sophie Finn up and running so that the college can move out. When the college moves up, they have a lot of space in the DRC and the development court area. And that frees, they're freeing up space for other county offices, you know, and the entire office. I also believe that coming next door to you is part of we're moving out of Central Auto, too. There's another, and that's coming in to Quarry. No, I'm at the business office behind you. I can't think of the name of it.
That's all of record. Yeah. That's on Boswell.
That's not moving. Your building is really made of two buildings, right? So we look at them.
Oh, you look at that as two buildings. Oh, okay.
Because
it was the one original building, and then they put that other, mm-hmm. where I am now in the admin section.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I just think of all of that as God's manner. And we're essential services. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes, essential
services. All right. And that's one of your two buildings? That's what,
yes.
That's what the, yeah, they think of us.
I think of it, too. And Central Auto is moving into the quarry, which you'll be seeing in, I don't know if there's a capital for that yet. No, you'll be seeing a capital for that in there's a mortgage quarry. You're eliminating that lease and bringing those people over with the long-term goal of melding them into the DPW mechanics and garage.
Do they make plans with the old jail?
Not that I'm aware of at this point, but I don't know if it's going to be sold or
we handle or how it's going to be handled. Yes,
what's the condition of it? I mean, nobody's been in it for...
really stuffy. There's no ventilation, no pantry.
They have a machine in it, right, for the machine storage.
Right.
And we just moved the DOE folks out of there and went to CCP.
Yeah. So it's segmented. You don't have to cut off the water and air conditioning. I don't know what's the proper, you know, I know that people have been, there have been discussions about what's the appropriate path to take with that building.
Well, several years ago, I spoke to immigration, and they were looking for beds. But they said it was too small.
Yeah.
They said it was just...
The only people I've heard of being interested in are filmmakers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they want to come in and try to cooperate to clean it up, yeah. Start everything up again, and just have them use it for a weekend.
Right.
Okay.
Is there a list that says which buildings and who's in what? Is there a current list of
facilities like this. Mm-hmm. I'd like to learn it, if you wouldn't mind. No, okay.
I wouldn't
mind.
You can send it to me if you want, and I'll send it to me in the draft.
Okay. I'm
sorry,
Jody,
what you going to ask? Okay.
And
what you going to
ask?
Just a list of all the facilities and who's in
them. There's a new one today.
That'll probably be
great
in next week.
Coordinating Children's Services is part of the SF moved into their island office this week. So just moved in the day before yesterday.
Okay. And I know that we did this. I'm going to go through this. I'm trying to compare with the study that we created, I don't know, 10 years ago. And let's see if we've addressed any of the issues that we have talked about. Actually, it was more than that, it was 2007. Which listed all, thank you.
You're welcome.
Listed all of the county properties and the conditions of them. And I set a priority list of which buildings should be looked at first. And even get color coordinated for those that were really good, those that were okay, those that were mediocre, and they have an entire list. And at that time, it was Information Services, which still exists,
which is on the block,
and Emergency Management.
They're out of there.
Okay. And planning now is in this building.
Purchasing in this building.
The only other one is Family Court.
Police.
It's going to, when does that expire?
2016, I believe. I wouldn't swear to that, but I believe it. I might be confusing that with another building. That is going to be scrutinized, and we're not really happy with that lease at all.
Well, I walked through it one day, and I went down to the file cabinet square, and I looked at the floor like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the least of the issues.
And then you got, I don't know if we still have that, but I remember that was triple net lease, which meant we paid for everything. I want to know if we're still in that position.
Well, that lease is still in effect. But we're not happy with that. We know there's
we're
no
not
one happy.
Are we doing anything to see about moving out of it?
Or are we negotiating it? That's a question for Mr. Sutherland and his compatriots, I believe. But I know that as a department, we have expressed our
concerns.
And they've been well received, so we're all on the same page.
Which building are you talking about now?
Except that the judges aren't that particularly anxious to go anywhere else. You should know.
Who is?
The judges are not particularly anxious to go anywhere else.
Well, that's fine, but the building's been safe.
Family Court.
Oh, well.
Family Court.
I don't think the building's unsafe. I think the issues are really with the triple threat.
I don't have police anymore. Right. The financing. That was 10 years ago.
Right.
And but that didn't make sense then. It's the only one that exists that I know of. And if I know of it, it's any other three let me know right now.
No.
I mean, you get a tear in the roof, you have to replace it. You get a hole in the roof, you have to replace it. You get a...
There are some finer points to that, but you've got the general. You're not far off. Yeah. There are some variations on costs that can be very tricky, but this is ridiculously.
The other questions? I have a couple of separate issues, if you don't mind, Dave. One is the road painting. Did you guys start that yet?
That's usually done at the end of the construction season.
Which is?
Depending on what you might start early, it has to do with the contractor, Atlantic Paving. And he has contracts for county level up and down the East Coast. So he may blow through here and say, I've got to be in the area for 5 days. I can do this. Place that on your construction schedule. So he may come at any time and do something. Or we may ask him to make it come over here while you're at Shrover and Duchess or Putnam. Come over here and you do this.
A couple of years back, but
generally it's the end of the season.
Probably 6 or 7 years now, when I first started out here, the county was kind enough to put the markers on South Ohioville Road, the section that's actually part of three towns. We have a large senior community there, and it definitely helps over to our families. We definitely know
what kind of markers are you talking about?
Double lines in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did that from 4455 and out to the stop sign. I don't know if you're familiar with that area.
Right on my mind.
That was a big help. Did you check with Bob? I talked to him about it over the winter, and he said it was on the list.
What's the road again?
South Ohio. Yeah. It goes through, and it's hard for the towns to do it because it goes through Platte Hill, Lloyd, and New Paltz. So last time that the county coordinated that.
Well, it's our road.
The whole, all South Ohioville?
Well, pretty sure. Sure.
Yeah,
it is ours, so I don't know. But you're saying that you think this town's connected to it. I have to look at a map to be sure, but you're just worried about the striping.
The striping. The seniors, it does help them out, especially at nighttime.
Fog lines, really.
Yeah. And the second question is, do you have a list yet of the roads in the county that are going to be resealed this year? That's just 14 and 19?
But on that list, what will be done this year is Watson Hollow. You know, we don't do the entire road.
It's just the mile list that you have.
Right. Amarack. New Hurley Road. Samsonville. Cripplebush is going to have 2 miles. Not 8.6. The other balance will be done, though. There's nothing to do that. Sampsonville and Ulster Landing Road, both will be done this year. 17.6 miles.
Okay. Do you know when that's going to start?
So this is traffic.
All right, we'll make sure that happens.
All right.
Okay.
I can give you some updates. Telling our agenda, if you don't want mine, I'll give you up.
Yeah.
PBI breach, I don't know where we were last month, but since then all the contracts have been signed. Utilities have been contacted and done their work. Both the contractor and the construction inspector are on site this week setting up. We've spoken with all the neighbors and cleared up any right-of-way issues that were dormant because there's some property there that's county property, but the neighbors have been using it because it's been empty for 30 years and nobody would know it's county property looking at it. because it dates back to when he left on the bridge of the land. Demolition work will start next week, and there are a lot of rumors floating around about what's going on there. You should know that it's just a deck replacement. There is no pier being put in the stream. There's not a completely new bridge going in.
It's so Gable Road is this bridge?
This is Glasgow Turnpike.
Okay.
It is not as big a project as some people are making out. The reason an outside company is doing it is because of the elevations involved. You don't have possibly pouring of deck. And you should be alert to the fact that the deck has to be poured and has to sit for 28 days minimum. So it may look like somebody just stopped working there. But their deck has to cure for 28 days before traffic can go on it. So,
have a couple of guys with shovel standing
there. There's other work to be done, you know, but, you know, because there are some sidewalks on a rail and things like that. But, sometimes you people get the calls before we do, or at the same time. So it's just, the more you know about, and like all construction, I mentioned this, I know you're new, but everybody needs to be reminded that it's always weather dependent, and it's always material dependent. The contractor is not, it's not his fault if the manufacturer is unable to supply him with the same materials, even though they said they had wood. But you have to buy American steel on these projects, and the steel is tight, so it's, you are at the mercy of the steel supplier. So it's just good to know that, because sometimes these problems have arisen in the past, and sometimes they can come up, and people are standing there looking at each other. Nobody likes to be doing that, but it's especially the contractor, because he's got people in one spot now, all the equipment's in one spot. He does not want that situation where they're standing and looking at each other. So if he wants to go do something else, he's got to move all those people. He has to continue to do that. So it's in his interest to move this, but I'm just, you know, these are some of the pitfalls in the business that are very difficult for me.
The tightness in the domestic steel supply has to do with military demand, right?
I have no idea.
Still? That I've heard.
I don't know.
Donald Trump was saying that years past.
But there are fewer manufacturers, perhaps. There's a lot of demand for American steel.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of public products are all part
of it. Well, my own first tips on it.
Whatever. I mean, we're competing with every other bridge construction project in the country. Reconstruction. But anyway, those are the pitfalls of every construction project. Materials aren't available, or they're supposed to be available and they're not. And like salt this winter, you know, we worked out very well for us. We got our salt, but a lot of towns were squeaking. You know, couldn't get the supply. The materials weren't available. And the weather is always a factor. Working outside with pouring concrete. As you know. And there's no interest in this. I met with the contractor and the construction inspector when he came into our office for the pre-construction meeting, and they both seem like very top-notch outfits. They're going to get going and get out of there. So they have very well, they're very experienced outfits.
Other projects have hit,
but yeah.
Did they keep it on time?
Yep. Yeah, they have excellent. They used to be called IMG. Now they're New Century Construction. Fingers crossed the weather cooperates. That's it. The Hurley Bridge, we are bidding out the crane. That's going to be needed now. We don't, depending on who, you know, it's up to the winning vendor, how he wants to do it with one crane or two cranes. We needed to have the winning bid in on the material, which is the truss superstructure. And we needed that before we could give the specs to the crane company. You can't bid on the way. It doesn't always lift it up. You can't give a bid, so we had to have that done first. That's been done, obviously, and now the bid is going out for the crane operator. I expect that the day after Memorial Day, we'll start the demolition. We've already completed the contract with the demolition guy who's going to come and cut the bridge and drop it into the creek and pull it out.
How many people bid on it?
The crane operators haven't gone out yet. It's just going out now. Don't know. But there'll be five or six, I think.
How many bid on the demolition?
I think about four. I wouldn't swear to that, but it was a good supply, a good handful. And they were not that far apart in my collection, so I'd have to go and pull up the numbers exactly, but I don't remember getting, like, somebody was here, you know, half the price of somebody else. Anyway, the Hurley Bridge should be finished before the day, in the fall sometime. We're going to put them, he's going to lift that in with our bridge group, and we're doing the concrete work, and we're going to be assisting in the placement of the truss, the steel superstructure. I don't know if you've seen the picture of the new, what it's going to look like. I wanted to bring one today, but it does not have, it's basically, two arches over on either side. There are no cross members on the top, so you'll be able to see through the bridge when you come up to it. You won't have that. And that boom won't obstruct any overhead vehicles, anything fall or anything carrying a boom on it or going through there. So it's still a very, I would say, similar design as the old bridge, but this is what the cross members are. On the Sophie Finn project, the Brian Cunningham's people are moving into the contract document stage, design development is ongoing with Chris and in planning, but Brian is looking into, he's trying to develop the contract document process where all the trade people are.
How much of that work are we doing in-house?
Probably very little because there will be especially the big energy being spoke about. And after that, I don't know. I can't say yet. Depending on how that goes. You have to have a plan first to decide. But like at the Patriots place, we're doing a lot of the work now that the asbestos is done. And we can't put in a sprinkler system. Like, we can do wallboard and build walls and ceilings with walls now piled. But it's too early to tell you.
Is that the project that also they were waiting on green infrastructure? Or is that?
Yeah.
And that's, is that all resolved now?
I
meant to ask them, but.
But as far as I know, that's still in the plan. The park is ready to go. It'll be staffed on Memorial Day. The pool is being prepped right now. And Billings and Grounds is now converting all the buildings to the cooling season. That's where their time is being spent.
I don't know if you have the 31st park.
Yep. Highway is just putting in a giant catch basin in the pool parking lot. They have to rebuild the whole thing. Pretty massive little job. They're maintaining Orlando from the highway department, working on the sidewalks and upgrades. And there's a green infrastructure grant for drainage going on Pearl Street, the little thing going on over there, which people are going to lose their parking spaces for a couple of weeks. That's a grant that Amanda got for the Department of Environment, but I was kind of looking around it. Doing most of the work on basically the rest of the highway department doing patching and figuring out when they do coal patches is when they go out and fix the holes with hot patch. That's a lot of going on for tree cutting. Tongor Road and Hurley Mountain Road, there's a bridge out there that's been in terrible surface, it's been fairly disputed that the other day. And room two was done today, which I moved to room two. I don't remember the name. It's on Samsonville Road, but Crumville Road. That was done today out of budget. That's what these pictures are of. I'm interested in that. It's halfway done. It's actually pictures. So it's finished. Late in the morning today. I was also hauling a lot of stone up to Cross Valley. Did you see it? Maybe you've seen it already. The capital for, you're going to see it shortly, a capital for winter repair fund. The state added more money to localities in order to help with this tough winter, help highway departments do repairs to roads. We got an extra $247,000 earmarked just for repairs due to winter damage. We're going to spend that. You have to spend all that, or you don't get it back. If you don't spend it all, you don't get it. So we're going to use that first.
Okay.
So we spend all that, and then we'll go to our CHIPS money, because CHIPS money rolls over. So there's no change. If you don't use it, or lose it as far as the money going to repair. So we're going to use it all on roads that we have already marked for CHIPS. And just carry it anyway. We'll carry
it. Do you have to kind of itemize it that it was winter repair and stuff like that?
If you're only certain. Yeah, we asked that question, and immediately we thought the DOT, or there's got to be some catch, there's got to be some rules. So we contacted the DOT and found out that the rules are you can use it. And once the process you're using qualifies for CHIPS, they don't care about the location.
Okay.
So, and then the rest of they're hauling a lot. They're going to do 3.5 miles up in Cross Valley. That was horrible shape. Taking your life in your hands with your motorcycle.
Can I ask you about the DOT money?
Yes.
Did you guys seek that out, or did they call you up and tell you?
They sent a very confusing and vague letter from they came out of Albany. And there's some translation with the local region and read it a couple of times. We kind of figured it out and consulted with, we both mostly called DOT because it was very convenient. And when we called, we were the sixth county to call. There are six counties originating.
Now, do you know if that money is available or has been reached out to local municipalities, towns, and so forth?
I don't know how it's distributed. I believe it goes to the town and it goes to us. Everybody who's CHIPS eligible is getting something.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what other people got. I just know who got to know it. And it's also eligible for what we spent from March 15th or something to now. Even though the letter didn't show up until the end of April. But along, this is the purpose. This is the paving season, and that's what most of the highway's doing now is prepping the roads for paving, cleaning up the shoulders, cleaning up, getting brush out of the way, doing the ditches that are on the roads that are going to be paved, replacing the pipes that can be going to be replaced before the paving, so, and cutting the trees on the roads that are going to get done. CHIPS paving will start in June. The bridge crew is out in the Indian area, putting in sheeting, driving and sheeting, trying to keep roads, one particular road from sliding down to the creek, which is a constant issue up in that part of the county. We have three other sites where the road is collapsing, one of them in Rosendale. And we have to go and address those. Our engineering department has to be out there first to design what's going to be done. Those are three other projects that the bridge crew will be doing. And then they'll be gone. Hopefully they'll be doing that before they have to go to the Hurley Bridge. All the big units.
All righty then.
Just a quick question. The High Falls Bridge is state.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very disconcerting to the folks in High Falls. They're really worried about the
animal. Well, it doesn't reach anything. Which they're going to replace.
Yeah, and needs to be done, and the plan is to do October, November, December with one lane open, And then after the holidays, close it completely for January, February, and March. If they stay on schedule, even if they go into April, they'll probably be okay. It's, you know, just when the weather gets nice and the flea markets and, you know, all that.
You know, it's always the same issue, no matter where that is.
Wherever it is, yeah.
It's always the hardship on whoever has to ride that vehicle. And you've got an old man that does not have a bridge.
You know, yeah, I mean, people need to be grateful that it's being tended to.
The real question is it a site that is suitable for a temporary bridge for our
family? Yeah.
When I say suitable, I mean, does it merit the $1 million or whatever expense it's going to cost for a temporary bridge? Some places in the town certainly does.
In this case, it's private property, and it's not.
Well, there's always private property, but sometimes the owners are very, you know, willing to work with you. That's generally the issue.
It's not a county issue.
No. You can rent a temporary version.
Okay. Any other questions? Chris? Yeah? I'm good.
I just want to bring up a new business thing real quick. Kirsten Gillibrand came to Sorbetti's on Monday at Cahill Elementary School. County Executive Mike Hine was there, and she discussed a new piece of legislation that she's working on that would categorize federal highway funding to specifically address pedestrian crosswalks that are deemed to be unsafe or dangerous for pedestrians, and I guess it's monumental in that the rationale behind federal funding for highway replacement and maintenance funds has never been categorized with that particular justification as a rationale. So I guess what Mike Hine was explaining is that the beauty of the legislation is that it's allowing the individual county executives to have discretionary authority over how the money is spent, that the lump sums will be distributed to the state, I guess, the state will distribute it to each individual county, and county executive its office will have discretion on how and where to spend the money.
Why did the executive's office have discretion?
That's just the way it was explained to me. You know, I mean, it's... That's how Mike explained it to the audience when I was in the audience. So I were to pick up the phone and ask Mike for clarification, or one of us were. That's
I'm just curious. I mean, usually it goes.
Are talking about TIP funding, which is a large project?
I'm not exactly sure what the acronym is for the specific, but I mean, it's a
major improvement.
But I believe so.
I mean, why would that not?
Because right now, system, I believe, is that the state determines what region gets what money.
Well, they may determine, but if I'm assuming Mike has no sway over the city or the towns or anything like that. So
I'm just reiterating what how he framed it to the audience. That was the main point, you know, the main narrative frame that he hammered on when he made his speech. The way he explained it to the audience, it made it sound like it was, you know, any intersection or crosswalk that's deemed to be unsafe, you know, he can basically open up the purse strings and do something, you know, try and do something about the situation. So that was how it was explained in his speech.
I love that conversation. I don't understand how he can dictate to the city or to the town, build another government.
His exact phraseology was, the beauty of this legislation is that it gives me discretionary authority to determine how and where the money is spent. And the beauty of it is that if there's a problem that arises, I can...
Okay.
That's pretty effective what his speech was.
I can't imagine him telling Marlboro or Kingston or Sword.
Well, I think it's the other way around. They come to him with a list... with a wish list, and then he, well, I'm just giving you secondhand information. Well, this is new legislation, so.
Hey, could you get clarification on that? How accurate that is?
No, there was an article.
Sounds like it's a funding.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Funding or
there was something that program,
yeah.
You know.
There might be the Freeman out there. I probably see Tuesday morning Freeman. I don't know if it's out there.
I'll go. Well, I'm assuming it's
but I've never heard of it. Your, what day was
your contact? No, I don't think it's saying it would tell them. He would say, if you want to fix that, because people are complaining to you and you and you and us and everybody,
why can't
I have the money to fix it now.
Why can't the rather mayor or the towns just apply for it?
Well, I think the money is with the state determined by like Region 8 would decide where it's going to go right now. But under this legislation, who's going to have the authority to spend this money?
Right. So you don't have to jump through the hoops of going through the state.
Right.
And what the Fed, he is expressing is that it's a benefit. Less hoops to jump through.
And sometimes it's very difficult for towns and villages and cities to navigate the grant process, the state DOT spec process. Your question, burdensome, as you say here, it's a lot to get through it. I see them on that also in the Transportation Council, and they struggle with projects. Everybody struggles with them. They don't have personnel that they can dedicate to. It's very difficult to get through DOT's requirements.
Pedestrian Safety Act of 2014. Ulster County Executive Mike Hines said at Monday's event that the Senator's legislation is designed to help people and make sure that they live in the safe communities. He said it will give municipalities, such as the county, flexibility in how they spend the federal money on transportation projects.
So the county is an example. Such as the county, you say.
But the way that they're paraphrasing, and they're not doing any direct quotes, I'm just saying because the way that That's all they attributed to his quote. That's it. Flexibility in how they spend the federal money. I'm just saying the way that it was expressed to the audience was that he himself, his office, would have like authority to determine where the money would be spent. You know, and then
I can understand.
All right.
I can understand. I can understand that he'll have sole discretion over all county-owned property. I just don't see how we could tell a municipality, and I don't see how the legislation would lead them out.
I think it would be conversely done, though. Like it would be, they would give him a wish list, like, you know, and then
he. See, what if he says no?
Yes. I'm just expressing what I've heard, and then speculating. I guess that's what we're all doing.
I'm just saying that I've never heard of any legislation that excluded municipalities. And that's
what or required them to.
Or required them to go to go to county executive hat in hand and say, "Will you please give me this?"
Yeah.
I know that they've done different types of programs that allowed them an opportunity to file for the different fundings because they determined what. Intersections were better than others or worse than others, and which ones needed to have worked on them. And using those as an example, they applied for the money, like any other type of funding.
Did you say you're going to look into it? Was that on your list?
Doug Short at YNN, he was there, or he was there.
Mike could have just been referring to discretion for the county and not for the town, and that's really the question.
Right.
Whether the locals also have access and have their own discretion.
Right. Well, he made it sound like it would be a joint effort. I mean, he didn't make it sound like he was going to be, Santa Claus with these new funds or something. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's what an analogy I'm going to use to explain it. But I mean,
it's a bracketing armor, I think, because you don't see the state giving up control of federal money to local one that is very, I've never seen it. So, it's great. Yeah, like chipmunk.
You brought it up. You got to look up the suggestion and say
Right. But that's over county roads. We don't use that. We don't determine the city or any other municipality how they or what roads are important to them or how those roads get done.
Matter
of the same money. They apply for it just like we do.
If you want to esteemed colleagues of this committee, I could put a request in to Kirsten Gillibrand's regional office to have, in Mayapack, to have one of her aides come and make a presentation to a future committee meeting, if you would like.
It's up to you guys. I don't care.
I've had some interactions with them. I'm working with them on some healthcare issues. So, business cards and conversations. So, I'm just saying, if you want it, like, Legislator Green was asking for clarification on the legislation. So, I mean, if you want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
That's just a committee. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, I could talk to chairman about
if need be, but, for now, it's really pretty straightforward, and I think probably the bill memo would
explain it.
I don't think we have to burden the senator's office to come in.
I was just throwing it out there for discussion, I suppose.
So you've got homework. Sometimes I get homework. Usually,
if you guys are new here, if you bring something up, that's when you get stuck with the homework.
If I myself was not given a direct press release, I can get it from Mayor Murphy or Supervisor Helms-Mortle, and it won't be across to or the children's office themselves. And we'll be the first ones to know with the second-hand information.
That's fine. Whatever you guys want to do. Okay.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Can I do a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.
You don't need to second most of the
All right.
Did you ever hear that? I always it's a tradition. Of course, it's supposed to be in Robert's Rules, and never looked it up. All
right. I was appointed to the community action board. And Diane Mandia Rocco was Wayne's representative.
Okay.
And I guess she went there today, tonight, and I guess I didn't officially designate her as president.
Okay.
So is there something formal that has to be done?
Good night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.